Thank you. we don't need to fear tomorrow. And I can do something unusual. You know, we need to do a real good sound check. Is it too loud, too quiet? Who would tell me? Is someone brave enough to tell me what you're thinking? Which one?
Down
just a bit. Okay. All right. Sounds great. All right. I'm thankful that God is greater. The greater is the one living in us than he that is in the world. This song talks about that.
Bring your tired, bring your shame, bring your guilt, bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. Every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's not right.
There's crying a voice and he calls me redeemed. Where others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
Bring you down and bring you here. Bring your hurt. There'll be no condemnation here. You're holy, righteous, and redeemed.
Every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. And I'll say, well, I hear a voice, and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me.
God's grace. I'm so undeserving of that grace. I'd like if Brianna, Alicia, and Cindy would sing a song about grace, and where this really became etched in my mind and real in my heart is as I saw the ladies on death row where we sang the song about grace, the tears begin to flow. Something about that made me realize that I don't need to be on death row to be thankful for God's grace. When it doesn't just mean a lot to me, I need to ask myself the question, am I taking grace for granted? Am I taking God's goodness for granted? This is a song about grace. It's not for the person beside you, it's for you this evening. There is nothing greater than grace.
Over the edge with no one there.
My name is Dwayne, and my wife Cindy, and we live in North Carolina, and we live there, but we spend less time there than we do traveling, I guess. And our girls have grown up sleeping in more Walmart parking lots, truck stops, and church parking lots than in their home beds back at home. So we do, over the last number of years, travel for most of the year. And I thank God for Cindy and just the choices, calling, the sense of calling that she senses in her life, and being willing to do what we do in a bus going down the road. And we thank God for the 26 years. Our 26th anniversary was last October. And we thank God for those years. Of our children, before you all go on and introduce each other, of our children, Austin, our oldest son, as an infant, had a heart transplant. When he was 8 months old, his heart was enlarged, and he was on medication, ventilator dependent, when we needed to make the decision, either pull life support or keep him on the life support until the heart would become available. And as we were in that process, in fact, the night before, there were several, they said the average wait was 8 months to a year. And we were trying to determine, what is God saying? And we were there at the hospital in Pittsburgh, and we were there for 2 days. At the end of the second day, we needed to make a decision. The doctors wanted to know. And my parents drove up from North Carolina, Cindy's parents, they were from North Carolina at that time. They'd come there, we were talking. We made a decision that if God provides a heart while he's in this stable, intensive care, but stable condition, then we'll take that as God's answer. And if he goes into where they need to do the ECMO or the more life support, then we'll say, no, it's not. God's not giving us freedom to move forward in that way. And so we decided that the second day after he was there, and the next day we got a call that our heart was available. So 3 days. And the average wait is 8 months to a year. And so it was just an amazing sequence of events that a heart became available. We thank God for that. Then he developed cancer, and I can't share all the story, but we'll stop there. But cancer at 5, second cancer at 6, and intense chemotherapy for the first, and then surgery for the second, and then heart failure again as a teenager, and then a second heart transplant when he was 16. And then 8 months after that second transplant, a bacterial infection set in and took his life in about 24 hours. And so God has spared his life so many times. And I would give him a hug and say, Austin, God has a special purpose for your life because he spared your life. And he would tell me, he said, Dad, my goal is to be the oldest living heart transplant recipient. And he just had an optimistic, positive view on life. And but somehow God accomplished in Austin 16 years God's eternal purpose for his life. And so, if y'all go ahead and introduce each other, we've done it different ways, different times, but you probably think of things that I wouldn't think of, so here,
watch. All right, I'll start with Brianna. Brianna is 21. She's the oldest of the girls, and I'm thankful for her. She does all of our secretary work, and so we keep her very busy with that. And when she's not doing that, if she has any opportunity to do something for fun, she's the one that is very daring, very adventurous. I don't know if there's anything she wouldn't try. She's done the waterboard swing. This past summer, she jumped out of an airplane just skydiving. So she enjoys pretty much any of those activities. But I'm thankful for her heart, for the Lord, and just for the example that she is to the rest of the girls.
Then on the far end is Alicia, and Alicia is 19. When she was an infant, she also had a heart transplant, where she wasn't going to live unless she received a new heart. But again, God provided miraculously, and her heart has been doing well. We thank God for that. She's the one of our family that loves helping to arrange the music we do. She is the ear for music and for the violin.
Next is Shantaya. There's 10 and a half years between me and Shantaya because the doctors have said that when I was little, that mom would be able to have any more kids. So we're very thankful for her. She is 9 and in 4th grade, and she's the artistic one of our family. She enjoys making crafts or anything to do with paper.
This is Clara. She is 7 years old. She is in 2nd grade, and she is my best friend.
This is my dad. His name is Dwayne. He's 52, and I love him a lot.
Y'all were just waiting to hear how old I was. I know, right? So, anyway, I'd like if they grab their mics. We're a very normal family, and we, do just the things that you all deal with, face. We do too. We're growing, and our goal is to become more Christ-like. And sometimes I need to say, no more complaining, no more whining, stop fussing. And we all, as adults, need to be reminded to be thankful all the time. Right? Amen. And this song has some motion. So everybody sit up straight, get ready, because I'm going to ask you to join us partway through. And it talks about not complaining, but having a grateful attitude, a grateful spirit. It says, wah, 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 call the whambellers. Here we go.
Call the whammy, a baby party starting any minute. When I call the
you weren't brave enough to try. You get one more chance after something is heard. Here we go.
I know my sweet boat is full, my work is the whore. Ask me anything you want, to go to it more. Car took my candy bar, and she will not care. Pity me, the best of this is there.
All right, everyone. Recording came out first. We gave it to our committee members. They were driving home from our meeting in Virginia there, and you know, it starts with a siren that comes up, and his wife told us later, he was looking in his rearview mirror. He thought he was being stopped. And that song came on. So I like if Shantae and Kyra, last September, they did a video, a DVD video for children, inspirational DVD for children, 13 songs. And there were families that came from one from New York, several from Pennsylvania, and Ohio, Tennessee, Georgia, North, South Carolina, 60 children in all. There was a two-week time frame that we recorded, and many hours went into this recording project. And in fact, just this past Saturday night, they were, I didn't know that they had, well, I probably knew they had film festivals where people that put films together, they go and they view them, they show them, and they are judged and all that. I probably knew that happened, but I didn't know much anything about it. But when we got done with the recording, the one that was filming it, he said, Dwayne, he said, I think you should enter this in the film festival. And so there's a Christian Worldview Film Festival that happened in Nashville this year. And we were there, sang on Thursday night, and to the entire audience of filmmakers, and then on Saturday night, they had the awards. They were selecting them. And the two of the songs were selected as the first one they announced was the Bubble Song, and it was runner-up for awards. And then we received that award. We're just walking off, and they announced the first place winner was our other song that we had submitted, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet. So that was the... Now, what all that means, I don't know. It's just it's an award that sits there. But at least they were saying it communicated a message clearly. And we are so thankful for the privilege to be communicating God's word through song. And when it's a children's DVD, I know because I have children that they, in our house, those play, they can play a lot. And especially an inspirational music DVD like that. And when that goes not only in the ears, but also in the eyes, it impacts lives. When there are truths about God's sovereignty, God's word being true and like that. And here's one of the songs that talks about, that I'd like to share. We can share maybe two tonight, and then maybe more throughout the week. But you know, as you sign up and you get a credit card, you're known as a number. You call and talk to them, they want to know what your number is. We go into hospitals, we get a patient ID number. In fact, they always know me as Austin's dad. They never knew my name. They say Austin's dad. But they knew him by a patient ID number. We go into prisons. The men in prison, it's a number. Department of Corrections, DOC number that they're known by. And when you call them by name, there's something special about calling them by name, recognizing them. God the Father, our Father, as children, He knows our name. He doesn't even just know our name. He knows what we're made out of. He knows what's inside of us. He knows us intimately, each one of us. And this song talks about that. He knows my name.
Yeah.
to him. There's a fun song that they do. It talks about Daniel in the lion's den and Buddy Davis with Creation Answers in Genesis wrote this song. And I called Buddy when we were considering it because the title is They Threw Daniel in the Lion's Den. You don't really want a song that has, you know, six or eight words in the title. And our children, when they sang it, they started knowing it as Here Kitty Kitty. And I called him, I said, could we use the title Here Kitty Kitty rather than They Threw Daniel in the Lion's Den? And he said, Dwayne, they said, I should have named it that, really, because that's what people, how people know it. That's why they, how they know it, what they call it. But he said, sure, you can do that. And this song talks about Daniel and the Lion's Den, They Threw Daniel in the Lion's Den. About the mountain being in our way, but God being greater than the mountain. Tell the mountain just how big your God is. In the foothills of sorrow, looking up from the valley of fear, you can see doubt off in the distance, and you're about to lose heart right here. Don't ever give in, don't ever give up. God is with you, and you'll overcome.
The mountain will tell you that you can't get healed. If the pride convinces you that it's way too high, definitions of what that can mean. You know, the pain that one person has is so much different than another individual. You know, there's physical pain. You know, there's disease or there's accidents. There's physical pain that happens to our bodies. There's also emotional pain that happens. There's all kinds of abuse that happens. There's a lot of different things that come our way that you could call it irritate us, or that frustrate us, make us angry, we're going to talk about a lot of those different things this week. We're going to identify some of the sources of the pain and those uncomfortable situations. But then we're going to talk a lot about faith's response to those different phases of pain that are in our lives. And, you know, something that we have in common is that we're people of faith and that we want to have faith's response. We all have different experiences of what that pain and difficulty, loss, and some tragedy in some places, some issue areas in some individuals' lives. But we can be people of faith and respond by faith. Foundations to having a life of faith is when we enter into a relationship with God. And, Lisa, would you grab that violin? Can I call the fiddle just that long? Huh? You didn't tune it. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you to tune it down to the other. Do you think how soon? How long? I mean, I don't have a lot of words, but sometimes I can. Can you do that? I forgot to warn her that I was going to call on her for this song. You go over to Brianna there and get that tune. Yes, Shantae and Kyra, if y'all would come and join us on this song too, and give her that tambourine. Maybe she can play along with us a little bit on this song. And, you know, when I think of
from pain to purpose, I think about how we want to talk tomorrow night on the origin of pain and evil. Where does this pain and evil, where does it come from in our world? Then we want to talk about pain in relationships. Pain in relationships with others. And then we want to talk about pain and knowing God. What happens with our perception of God? How do we view God? How do we see God? How do we walk through? Because there is a time of saying, God, why? Which, depending how you ask it, can be a good thing. We also want to talk about the 500th man that was executed in the country. And that happened in the state of South Carolina. And how he interacted with us in our lives. How God brought our paths together. And then also that courtroom setting where there was a murderer that was there. But our pastor friend, how that harsh, cold courtroom where you're presenting line upon line of evidence. You're looking for a guilty verdict. How harsh and cold that is. But it's reality. But how that whole scene was turned into a worship setting before our eyes as we saw God at work. And then on Sunday evening, concluding with the living as an overcomer. And just some of those aspects of faith response that we've tried to embrace in our lives on a day-to-day basis to identify those faith challenges and to walk as an overcomer. And so, do you have it all tuned up? She doesn't let me. The only time I can call it a fiddle is when I'm in front of a lot of people and when she's not very close to me. So that's just for now. After when we leave here, it's a violin again. So, can you make that violin sing to me? Alright. Very good. Very good. Alright, we have a song that we put her to work on, and you'll know the song. In fact, probably here, I'll ask you to join us in singing.
Oh, that makes me cry out.
That was Irish violin, by the way.
Alright. I'd like if the gals can do another song from the DVD. And, you know, we're not created, we're created for eternity. This world today is a, I believe it's a shattered reflection of the beauty that God once created. Back in Genesis, when he created the world, there was no pain, there was no evil, there was no sin. That world was a perfect world. But today, the world we live in, there is brokenness all around us. And part of that broken process, part of the result of the sin, is the physical death that happens. A spiritual death and separation, but then there's the physical death that happens. And dedicate this song to those that have a loved one that's gone to be with Jesus, thinking about heaven, only imagining that, and imagining that reunion one day in heaven. I can only imagine.
Fire, glory, blood filled by your field, that I can pour.
One day, I believe that's what we're created for. It's for eternity. One day that will be reality. When we get to see the one who loved us so much, that he came, bled, died, gave his life, so that we can have a relationship with Almighty God. That day also we'll see that our loved ones, those that, you know, when you love so deeply, it hurts so deeply when there's that separation. And can't imagine what that reunion will be like one day. One day, for we as believers, we have that confidence, that assurance that one day we will see them and be together. When I think about Jesus, the one who died and bled and gave his life for me, for you. What I think about is how Jesus conquered by death. The song, I can only imagine, starts with death. In fact, someone has said our life here is just like a womb of an experience. We enter into eternal life through death. Jesus conquered by death. But think with me for a moment. The cross that was before Jesus, the cross as Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knew what was up ahead. And from the eternal perspective, the spiritual perspective, we get a view behind the scenes of what happens in that spiritual perspective when we read the book of Job, the first part of Job, through Job. But as the cross was before Jesus, I believe Satan, as he was viewing what was happening, he said, "Now we got it. We have totally destroyed the plans that God had." He saw Jesus, he saw him moving towards the cross, and he saw him destroying God's plan. I believe Satan was confident he destroyed it. But from the other perspective, God looked down. God saw Jesus, God saw the cross, and he said, "Redemption is about to happen. Redemption is here for all mankind." But you see, Jesus, as he was there facing the cross, it was not a pleasant experience. But the choice as to what was going to happen and the outcome of that cross, it was Jesus' choice. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Oh God, let this cup pass from me." What are the crosses in your life today? What are those things in your life today that you would say, "Oh God, let this not come my way. Let this not happen." But Jesus is such he's our perfect example. Because Jesus saw the cross. He knew the battle that was going on. He was tempted by Satan. He knew that philosophy. He also understood God's plan of redemption. The choice was his. Something we want to get into this week is, what does that choice look like in your life and mine? What all is hinging on our response to those crosses that are in our life? But as Jesus came to the garden, to the cross, there were four words that were conquering words that he said. The song talks about that.
I'm so confused. I know I hurt you right away, so I follow through. But somehow I ended up here. I don't want to be. I would never understand.
Thy will be done. Act of worship as we surrender to God our perspective. I'd like to just share a few thoughts from Genesis chapter 32 as we close this evening. Close with just a few thoughts from this passage of scripture. Jacob, he rose up that night, Genesis 32, verse 22. Rose up that night, took two wives, and his two women servants, 11 sons, passed over the ford to Jacob. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. Jacob was left alone and wrestled with a man until the breaking of dawn. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto them, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob called the place Peniel. He said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved." And then he passed over and went back to his family. Just a couple of thoughts. Sometimes I believe our greatest trials, greatest wrestling, is not with other individuals or with circumstances, but it's with God. Here, Jacob, he wrestled with God. I don't know if that's happened, but in my mind, I've wrestled with God and said, "God, why are you doing this? Why do you allow this in my life?" But Jacob, in verse 24, it says he was left alone. He was alone with God. Sometimes when we're wrestling with about events or circumstances in our life, we feel very alone. Jacob was alone. And then he prevailed not against him. And then something interesting in verse 26, the angel said, "Let me go." Do you think that the angel needed to ask him to let him go? Like, the angel had power over him. But he said, "Let me go." Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." In your struggle with God or with difficulties in your life, think about, or don't miss, the blessing that is there. We can focus, many times we focus on the earthly perception, but there's the eternal reality in each one of our lives. Earthly perception, eternal reality. What is the blessing that Jacob experienced? That night, the angel blessed him. The angel blessed Jacob. He changed his name to Israel. For a prince hath power with man, God, and with man. I believe when we wrestle with God, we ask the hard questions. Christianity doesn't have all the questions to all the answers, but it has the best answers for most of the questions of any world view. We'll talk more about that Sunday morning. But when we ask those hard questions, we walk through that and we come out with answers that are eternal perspective answers. I believe it gives us an anointing. It gives us a power with God, with man. We receive a blessing when we wrestle with those hard situations. And we don't come out with bitterness. We don't come out with fear. Because those things can grow. We've struggled with both of those. Fear and bitterness in our lives. When we wrestle with it, we find answers. Our faith is strengthened. There is a blessing that happens. Jacob said, "I have seen God face to face." In the middle of those trials, those difficulties. When we ask the questions, we come to God's Word, we seek for answers. We can see God face to face. Job said, I heard, but now my eye sees. That was after all these things had been taken away from him, after the rapid fire destruction that happened in his life, but before he was blessed, he said, I had heard about God, but now I see God. There's something of a refining that happens. We want to talk through that refining that happens in our lives as we wrestle with those questions. And we find good answers for questions. Not all answers. We find good answers for those questions in our life. But I like to, verse 31, he passed over, and the sun rose up upon him, he halted upon his side. I can imagine Jacob, now Israel, the next morning as he was coming back to his family. And as he was walking, his cloak, whatever that was probably all torn and not in very good shape. His hair was probably all messed up. Probably had dirt on his face. Not only that, he was walking with a limp. He was limping as he came back. And I can imagine as he came up to his family saw him coming. They're saying, who's that? He doesn't walk like Dad. He kind of looks like that. And as he came closer, they say, that's Dad. Well, that's my husband. And as he got up to them, he came closer and they'd say, what happened to you? What happened to you last night? And he would say, I got blessed. They'd say, sure doesn't look like you've been blessed. Looks like you've been in a fight. What is your response? And we want to talk about that. So what is your response? Jacob realized that he was blessed after wrestling with the angel that night. How do we look at those events in our life? How do we have a God perspective in those events in our lives? Come out, walk through them, and come out as victors. We want to look at another thing. We don't have we're not coming as we have the answers. We have found some things that have fit well for us and that have become a part of our DNA as a family. Because of things that we have faced, that doesn't make us any different or better or more spiritual. We are still seeking answers. We're very normal people. But we're looking for answers. And this week we want to look at scriptures and say, how does this apply in our lives? And through God's Holy Spirit speaking to us, trust they will encourage you as people of faith. As we close this evening, I would like to especially pray for you as dads and you as young men that are here. Because I believe that we as men need to be called out to be men of faith. We need to step forward as men of faith. Think through the challenges in our life. Surrender to what God has for us. And so, I'd like if the men, if you would stand, and maybe boys up to maybe 13 and older, if you would stand. And I would like to pray for you as we close through this evening. And pray that God give us wisdom, God give us grace to be recipients of truth from His Word as we meet these next several evenings and look into God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for your eternal Word. God, I think of these men that are standing right now. God, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak and minister life into their being. God, I know that there's an enemy, Satan, and the evil one that wants to destroy. He wants to take away, to steal, kill, and destroy. God, I come against Satan, the unclean force of spirit, and ask that you would leave this place, and Father, these men, Father, that you put a hedge of thorns protection around about their life to protect them from the enemy. Protect their body, soul, and spirit, mind, will, emotions, God, as they focus on you. And Father, that you can build us up as men of faith, as we are exposed to greater aspects, elements of your word and your truth through these evenings together. And God, we give you the glory, for you alone are worthy. We pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Were there announcements or something in closing? You may be seated. Thank you very much for coming this evening, Brother Dana. And we look forward to these next several times together. I know the time will go fast for us. But the next several evenings will be just kind of look around. We'll sing a couple songs. And then it will be a message time, a message focus, the remainder of the service.